Hi. And don't be intimidated. We're just, I know it's set up this way, but just come talk to us. Hi. Yes.
I can't hear you. Try it again. No, not yet.
Nope.
They're working on it.
They're working on it.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you for coming to Tanana today. Our community, as you can see, has been through one heck of a ride the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
And our community has really pulled together, though, and I'm very proud to say that I'm from Tanana and that we all work together here in this community to make things better for our community residents here. And I just want to thank everybody here in Tanana for doing such a good job in helping each other here put our community back together, because it was so devastating for so many of us. And I think we're doing a good job on that part. But I know one of the reasons that you're here today is for us to give you some, maybe some type of input on what kind of energy ideas that we can have for Tanana.
Yeah.
I know you've toured back at the laundromat, and thanks to Bear and the city council for installing the wood boiler back there.
Yeah.
And also the solar panels. And I think it's really helped, you know, with that particular facility. But as you see, we have other facilities in our community that also need that extra help with energy. And one thing I was thinking about last night, you know, before, was how can we as a community help you in helping us? And with the destruction of approximately 40 homes in our community, one thing I think that we really need to make sure that we do this time around with those homes is to make them as energy efficient as possible. We need to make to where we don't have to burn as much wood or as much oil. Those homes were, a lot of those homes were built in the early 80s when price of oil was really low. And so I think by, you know, help, you know, having those homes energy rated, you know, 5-star or whatever the highest level is, that's what we need to do for those homes. And I know that there's lots of other things that we could do to help our energy costs here, because fuel oil, when we get it here to Tanana, it's about, last year I think we paid like $4 a gallon. It was $4.80 a gallon here in Tanana. That was last year. So this year we're hoping to get a little better deal with oil. But also our gasoline is almost $6 a gallon. So it's really hard, you know, for people to really go out and get the driftwood that they need. They have to go hunting. They also have to go fishing just to provide the food, you know, to provide us through the winter. And so, you know, those are costs, you know, that, you know, I don't think we can really do anything about. One of the areas our community has been looking was to get road access to Manly Hot Springs. And we as a community talked about, you know, do we want road access or not? And just based on, you know, the cost of living here in Tanana now, I think most of the community members here agree that road connection is going to be very important, be it railroad or, you know, a paved highway or just a you know, dirt highway would, you know, bring the cost of living down here in Tanana. And so the cost of goods would decrease, you know, for a lot of the residents here. So I know other people are going to get up here and want to testify about windmills. We have a lot of wind in this area. I know Ruby is looking at the generator from the river, which I think is possible. And then we also have solar. We don't have, you know, sunshine, you know, 12 months out of the year, but we do get quite a bit of sun from, say, starting in February all the way until September, end of September. So that's quite a few months, you know, that we do get a lot of sun here in Tanana, where that could be converted into energy. So I look forward, you know, to your help in providing those, you know, to us as a community. So I just want to really thank you for coming here to Tanana today and giving us this opportunity, you know, to provide our input into how we can, you know, survive as a community, because we're survivors out here.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. And
thank
so,
you very much. We, I just want to say, I have really observed some innovation today. You know, this community has taken matters into their own hands and
yes.
leading the way. And I understand people from as far away as Korea have come to look at your boilers to see how you're burning wood and the efficiencies. And we looked at your power plant and just really innovative. So we applaud you, and we're going to share your story with the other parts of Alaska that we travel to. And we think that it will be inspirational as we're looking at an energy policy for the state. So thank you.
Okay.
Senator Wilkowski?
Yeah, just a quick question. Do you know what the average cost is to heat a house and to provide electricity for a house here?
Well, in my own home, just my husband and I, it's about $100 a month for electricity. And we burned wood all winter. And we probably burned about 5 or 6 cords of wood this past winter because it was extremely cold. We do have a furnace, but we mainly use the wood to provide heat for our home. And we don't have running water in that part of the community, so you know that doesn't we don't count you know the showers and the running water system. So I'm sure you know our cost would have been way higher if we did have water and sewer in that part of the community. Half the community is water and sewer, the other half is without. So you know that to us that's a problem. So it would be nice if we could you know get the rest of the community hooked up to water and sewer.
Yes. Senator Wagner.
How many miles is it that you need road built from here to Manly?
I'd say about 40.
40 miles of road.
40 miles of road before we can get, you know, to the other part of the road that's been, it's not really a road, but Manly Hot Springs is the nearest highway, and that is about 80 miles from here. But, you know, because of the mining behind, part of the miners built part of the road, about 40 miles of the road there. And so we probably have about 40 miles left to build. Yeah. And we really are excited about, you know, that, if we can get it.
Senator French.
I have a question. My question is about your home and the other homes near here. Have you taken advantage of the money that we appropriated last year for weatherization to make your home more efficient? Or do you know of your neighbors doing that?
Yes, quite a few of our homes, you know, did... A few years ago, they did come in and do weatherization in some of the homes. And so some of those homes have been flooded already. So the windows are really nice. Yeah, really nice windows. But the insulation is all gone. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Thank
you. We appreciate it. Okay, next I have Mike Anden. Mike, are you here? Welcome.
Hello, my name is Mike Anden. I just wanted to thank everybody. All the local people have been doing a great job with our situation. As far as energy goes, you've seen the force of the water, what it could do. There's a lot of energy there. How do we harness it? If you take a closer look at the homes that's been taken apart, they weren't constructed with energy efficiency in mind. And if you look at them now, you'll see what I'm saying. There's a lot of energy efficient things that could be done, and making it short and sweet, when Governor Tony Knowles said he's going to get rid of the honey bucket, he used the word adequate. And according to the dictionary, adequate is a level above poverty. And that's the kind of help we've been getting from programs, is adequate. Thank you.
Just see. Okay, next we have Faith Peters. Faith, are you here?
Yeah.
And after Faith is Don Eller. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Faith Peters, survivor of flood 2009 in Alaska. I lost my home and my business and energy to run my home and my business cost me approximately $400 a month between power and the telephone. That was starting to come out of my own pocket. To deliver my products to my store became the cost of $500. It's for me, it's 40 cents a pound with right there to have my product flown in for the store. Didn't get my taxes done yet. They said that I was operating under the budget yesterday. Then I was told by my insurance company that they cannot help me because of the flood for repairs. I believe that a road from Manly to Tanana would be energy savings for us because I run my product from Manly by boat to Tanana. That's a 72-mile trip, 6 hours from here to Fairbanks. That's running at $5 to $6 a gallon. Okay. Sun panels for the summertime would cut the cost of energy. Windmills would bring down the cost of energy. If we had windmills properly put at Squaw Crossing and piped over to Tanana, we probably could generate more energy into the Ellers power plant. Also, the cost of food and living here for those who don't make enough money or have no way to have a job, this would create jobs for our community. There was one more thing. Oh, yeah, our school, if it had a wood burner, would cost for fuel would go down. Then we could put most of the money into actual classroom time where our kids would come home from the boarding school to have more teachers and possibly a hot meal here. I'm thinking that the school, because of the disaster, families might not come home. But as you see, Tanana is a home to so many, and we love it here. And being a first-time survivor of a flood, the trauma and the tragedy that happened with this whole community is outstanding, how they pulled together and have worked hard this last 15 days since the flood. And we have three months before winter comes to make sure that we have everything put back in place. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Okay, next we have Don Eller. We've been spending part of our day with you.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming to Tanana. I'll try and make this short and sweet. I realize everybody's on a schedule. I was grew up in Tanana all my life, although currently I live out in the valley. I do spend quite a lot of time in the villages, and I've known most of these people all my life. And one of the things that I see, I don't know if you look at their faces, they're tired. So anything you guys can do to help that out would be phenomenal. You've heard a couple of suggestions, especially regarding a road. We've done a survey on that, and that when we originally started talking about a road, there was a lot of the people in the community who fought it. And please don't think a big grand scheme. We don't need to cross the Yukon River. We need to get to the Yukon River. An ice bridge, a ferry will go across. There's way too much money to go across the Yukon at this point in time. And don't think a paved highway. Think a gravel strip. Think of a gravel strip put together by local people. Let them do the work. Let them do the jobs. Let our local boys be trained by AvTech and make it a community project or something like that. Then we're really only about 16 miles from where the last of the Miners Road ends, and it's doable. The other thing is energy is expensive out here. We see it in some of the government homes that are put together. We see $300 electrical bills. Why? Simple things. They put in fixtures that are made to have 6 or 7 40-watt bulbs rather than 100-watt bulb, which produces more light than all of that. I just hope that you guys can in some way help the people who have been affected by the flood by getting them into new energy-efficient homes, because that's the cheapest energy there is the energy you don't use. So thanks.
Thank you very much, Don, and thank you for touring us today. Okay, next I have Bear Ketzler. Bear. He's been our tour guide today and done a fantastic job of showing us around, so great guy.
Thank you, Senator. Greetings, and thank you again, as everybody has mentioned earlier about, you know, you all taking the time out in the middle of summer to come out to Tanana and visit Tanana and Ruby. I'm sure you're going to learn some exciting things in Ruby. As I talking to you earlier, and I think you all got a pretty good sense that we're really open-minded here in Tanana. We really like to look at the big picture. And so I wanted to stress, you know, way the state had started off earlier a couple of years ago and appropriating the energy dollars to Alaska Energy Authority, is to continue to do that. The biomass project back there, that could be replicated so easy in other communities, and we would definitely be instrumental in helping that and facilitate that and connecting with the right people, the manufacturers, the plumbers, and all that kind of stuff. It isn't, as we all see, it really isn't rocket science. Another important aspect is funding R&D stuff. We got to see what the Tanana Power is trying to do with their hydrokinetic. That's something on their own. But if there were some R&D dollars that were available for these experimental type things, I'm not talking they giving away $250,000, but just some sort of a program to keep some innovation out there, similar to that would be, you know, real neat. Tanana, a couple of years ago, and one reason that I think part of our success here in looking at all the different energy sources, be it renewable or alternative energy, similar to what we discussed with propane, you know, is that the community has an energy plan. And that's been instrumental in our efforts to track, you know, dollars that have a plan in place, and this is where we're starting at. And our next energy, on our next energy plan under our public facility buildings is the school. And the school here is, you know, is the backbone of the community. If we were to get down to, like, I think 20 students, even though the 10 student count is a very important number, but if we got down to 20 students, we couldn't keep the school going. And but to reduce the cost of operating the school, it would just take three of those boiler systems that you just seen operate earlier, attached, you know, in another separate building next to the school, and it would heat the school. One important aspect that I didn't really get to iterate is that the 30 or 40 cords of wood that we burned back there, that money stays in the community. It's money that it's energy that's not brought in. The money is circulating within the community. So more and more of these systems that we put into the community and displaced in fuels is really the more money that we have available to recirculate into our economy. And that's, you know, that's, you know, it's all, it's really, you know, in a micro level of economics of keeping our town moving forward. One other aspect I kind of touched on is the feed-in tariff. I'm not sure who is going to be, if anybody's going to be doing research on that, and if the committee itself is going to promote the idea of feed-in tariff. But I've given to other legislators, not anybody on the Energy Committee, and I will go and buy 6 or 7 or 8 or 11, how many DVDs, but there's one DVD called Saved by the Sun. And it's not so much, it's about solar, but it's really kind of a story of how Germany was able to overcome their high cost of energy. And it was through kind of a terminology we coined now as feed-in tariff. And that has spurred, you know, that country's economic, you know, engine and to be the one of the moving forces in the world and to renewable energy. But the concept of feed-in tariff, it would keep the utility, private utility companies with revenues coming in so that they still make their money, but it also gives the individual or even another business to come in and look at other alternatives to bring power into their grid. And so I hope that will continue to be researched out and refined and maybe some legislation come into that.
Yep. We will do that. As I explained, our Energy Committee and our Resources Committee have looked at the concept of net metering, mm-hmm. where you can be innovative and put power back into the grid, but we're looking at this concept of feed-in tariff. So we'll stay in touch with you on that.
Okay. And last is, I know we, you know, it's come to Tanana, you're running all around or whatever, but there's lots more to see, lots more to do. Some beautiful bed and breakfasts here. There's fishing, there's sightseeing. So invite you all back anytime and maybe stay for a little longer or a day or two, and we can give you, you know, get you out to the sites. So anyway, thank you so much for coming. And I'll ask any questions if anybody has any questions.
Any questions? Just thank you again.
Thank you.
Wonderful host. Okay, and the last person I have so far. There's more coming. Okay. Kathleen Peter Zure.
Hi. Hi. Good afternoon. Welcome to Tanana. My name is Kathleen Peter Zure, and I work for the Tanana Tribal Council as the environmental specialist. First of all, thank you for coming here. And as you can see, our community, as others have said and as you have seen, our community needs help. We only have a short time period to get these houses livable for winter. And as it is, this week we were supposed to have our music camp here. That was canceled. We were supposed to have our Youth and Elders Dinakanaga Conference here in Tanana next week. That was canceled. Fishing is supposed to start soon. for whatever fish that we're going to be able to catch. People are busy working on their homes now, so that's going to be not a priority. So what I wanted to mention was the weatherization program that the state of Alaska offers. I know that you go through the Tanana Chiefs Conference to provide services to Tanana, but when I think it was last fall when there was a new program and installed, and Tanana was found ineligible. And I would like to stress to you that the people's houses that have been damaged need to be put on a special list all along the Yukon River for special weatherization funding for each home. We had a weatherization program here, but that was for low-income people. So not very many people qualify. That's why we didn't get any of our houses weatherized under the new program. So that's something that I think that's needed here. In terms of energy, we at the tribe in the year 2000 did a one-year program under ANA for wind energy, and we do have the data collected with Earth Energy Systems, and we have the equipment. What we found was we have enough energy here for individual homes to use wind power. We are currently using our wind equipment, working with the Tanana Power and collecting data past the White Alice site, 8 miles up. Since all of the homes that were damaged have to be rebuilt or renovated, we are looking for, as others have said, you know, that we need to have it rebuilt energy efficient, because these were homes that were built in the early 80s, and they're huge. Most of them have furnaces that aren't efficient or so old that they're burning way too much fuel. We wait for the barge here. They bring in the fuel, and when the price of gas goes down in your cities, our price of gas stays the same. So on top of that, with the high cost of food, we have a lot of people that live below the poverty level. And we are, with this event of the flood, we are looking for your help. And I know, thank you for, welcome to our Tanana City School District. I know that was a subject that came up a lot in the news this year. We are proud parents in a community of our school. And if we lose any more kids, our community is going to die. We're going to be down to 37 kids this year. This building is huge, as you can see, and it's hard to heat. And we're finding ways to cut the cost, but we pay 70% of our budget on energy, and that needs to. We need help here to keep our school going. We have a dream also for having solar panels on every home. That's a doable thing. It's just the cost of buying these solar panels is high. And we have people using them. I use it at my fish camp. And so, you know, it's we've been using solar panels. But I just thank you for coming to Tanana, and like I say, our subsistence activities, our cultural activities have been canceled due to the flood, and we only have a couple months to get ready for winter, so we would thank you for your assistance.
Thank you very much. Okay, next I have Dennis Edwin. Good afternoon.
What I was going to speak on was just spoken about, was our heating system that's in our hood homes. I I do believe they're very inadequate. They're old. And we have our hidden ducts underneath the floor, probably water full of water, whatever went down in it. I was speaking to my neighbor, and he's tearing everything apart in his house, and he don't know how he's going to go about fixing it. He's talking about fixing it himself. And what I'm wondering about is, how soon could you get the supplies here so we could move back up there with adequate heat? And some people were talking about the way their electrical lines were fixed. There were some incidences where they were stapled into the power itself, into the power lines. And some of, well, they did fix some of our oil tanks up there at the circle. But you get 500 gallons of oil on that land up there without any support underneath it. They start sinking. And I was talking to the man up there that was working, I believe he was from DNR, and the state wouldn't give him permission to put the boards underneath it to help hold up the tanks to keep it from sinking. And I can't understand why you would fix some oil tanks and leave the rest alone to let them sink. There's no support under those oil tanks. They're just standing there on their... And they'll start sinking after a while. But right now, my concern is this. We are staying at different places here. And we all want to move back to our homes. And we need the help, just like everybody else that got flooded here in Alaska. We need the help now, and I wonder, probably just not me, is how are you going to get the supplies to us and how soon? As it's been mentioned, we don't have very much time here for the summer to be done with here. And everybody's talking about the price of gas and oil. What they're saying is true. Anchorage, we see a gas price fall, the oil price fall, and what is the matter with out here in the interior, especially when we got a gas and oil line up there, and everywhere else in the state, oh yeah, they're all happy because everything is dropping out there, but here in the interior, it don't seem like nobody want to help us. And up there at the circle, I don't know if any of you got out of the bus and went into an actual home and looked at it. Because the only man I seen out there was the guy taking TV movies of it. So that sort of disappointed me when I seen you sit right in front of my place looking out the window. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, and the governor has applied for federal funds and I know is going to be looking to us in the legislature for funds as well. And I know those efforts are underway, but part of why we wanted to come here today is to find out how far along things were in rebuilding your community, and I'm sure I share the thoughts of my other colleagues that it's we're with you as Alaskans, and we'll go back and do what we can to make sure that you get the supplies you need, and that your homes are put back together in time for winter. Okay, next is Curtis Summer.
Hello. My name is Curtis Summer. I'm a chairman of the Tanana Tribal Council, and I'd like to welcome you here to our community. As you can see, our community was hit pretty hard by a flood. I'm one of the fortunate ones. I live in a house up at Mission Hill, and the water did not touch the house, but many of our community members had flood damage. We are off the road system. Gas is sky high. This is May. We're almost into June. We still have to worry about fishing. We still have to worry about getting wood and hunting in a few short months. When this flood happened, even though the staff had their own problems, was trying to get ready for the flood, the staff were in charge, and I'm very proud of the way that everyone jumped right in. And as you can see, our community is native, non-native, young and old. And without waiting, they jumped right in and began the cleanup process. And for that, I take my hat off to Tanana. I'm very proud of Tanana. We are faced with very high energy costs, and we've heard wind power, solar power, and hydropower. If there's a way, you know, what we have here are all hardworking people, very hardworking people, and dedicated people. And we're not asking for people to come in and tell us what to do, you know, seem like everybody always want to do that whenever they come here, because we have hard-thinking people here, too. You know, what we need is for these homes that were affected. I was told that these HUD homes that were flooded, this was a family operation that put these HUD homes here. Some family had the sawmill, family had the sheet metal, family had the electrical, and these logs were not even graded. The logs that are here were supposed to have been sent to Nalato. Nalato got our logs. We have Nalato's logs. But that was in the early 80s, and they are not heat efficient. Dennis Edwin, he brought up the fact that the flood, the water level went above the floorboards, and the heat ducts from the furnaces were flooded. And this is all contaminated water. All that ducting has to be taken out and decontaminated. All the walls inside these homes were taken apart because of black mold. Black mold was already starting. So we're not asking for handouts. We can do the job ourselves, you know. Maybe the money is going to run out pretty soon, but I'm quite sure that there are going to be a lot of people volunteering to help each other. And I'm very proud to come from this community. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have Charlie Campbell. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Charlie Campbell, and I'm on the Tanana City Council. Thanks so much, you guys, for all coming out. It's nice to connect your faces and names for once. I'd like to reflect a little bit on what Curtis just said. I was very impressed with how well this flood was managed here in Tanana. And considering the amount of chaos and confusion that happened, people really did pull together, and the Tribal Council took a big lead in getting everybody kind of pointed in the right direction. I guess what I would like to sort of point out to you guys is that this is kind of what our community is like. And so in terms of energy projects and so forth, I think you can kind of depend on us as people who will get stuff done. The other thing that you guys have probably seen by now, touring around with Bear, is that we're kind of an innovative bunch. We're hardworking, but we put some thought into things too. You've seen the laundromat, the wood-fired boilers there and the solar panels, and you've seen Donnie Eller's crazy contraption that he put together, you know, to try to harness river power. I talked with him about it quite a bit last summer because I'm a fisherman and I run a fish wheel, and both of us agree that there's tons of power there, but it's not a plug-and-play type operation. You have to figure out the problems with driftwood. You have to consider fish migration and not interfering with that. So basically what I would like to sort of do is point out that Tanana is a pretty ideal place for R&D. We already have a start on it, and what's best, I think, is you have some local expertise. You know, you could have an R&D company come in from outside, but they wouldn't be aware of natural conditions here, and so would probably make a hash of it. So I would just ask if you guys could sort of keep us in mind in as far as funding, as far as that's concerned, because I think I don't think we'd piss the money away. I think it would be well spent. Another thing, too, that you guys have probably heard about is the cost of fuel for the school here. I think the fuel bill this year was around $70,000. I think the year before that, because of fuel prices, it was a little over $100,000. I would point out that the Tanana School is one school in the interior where the kids have all made adequate yearly progress. I'm pretty proud of that fact, considering that we're a homegrown operation. This year, in order to graduate the seniors, the parents basically had to get together and do bake sales and everything else. I mean, we are definitely trying to wring every last drop of money from our local efforts here. There was some talk of a wood-fired boiler for the school, which would help enormously. But, of course, the problem is always coming up with a match locally. I mean, we're pretty tapped out in that regard. So I guess the one thing I would ask is if you guys could see some way to make that into an R&D project, we're ready to go. I think you've got some good people to sort of put it into practice. But other than that, thanks very much for coming out, and I appreciate your taking the time to see our community.
Thank you. Great ideas. Okay, next I have Josephine Roberts.
I think I'm the oldest person here in Canada. I came here from Glen in 1940. I was just only 18 years old when I came here to go to work at the hospital that's going to be torn down this summer. Since then, I could see all around. 1940, when I came, I don't think most of them were born yet. All the mothers and fathers and grandma and grandpas are gone. I'm the only one standing here, and there's Helen Cedar, Reverend Helen Cedar, and Maggie Nicholas. There's just three elders here, and Roy Holder, and a few that are in their 70s. I'm in my 80s, and I work for 4 months shy, 30 years at the hospital in housekeeping and laundry supervisor. So I'm well taken care of by civil service. Thank God. He paid me good to retire. long ago in the 82. That's many years ago. And you say you're here for energy. All the years that I've been here, I married shortly after. I didn't stay single very long. I married. I started having a family. And in 69 years, until first time this year, I have my own bathroom and running water. Great! It feels good. But I find it kind of expensive, but I'm not picking because I have a way to pay for it. We have four services: telephone, supervision, TV, power, and then water bill from the laundromat. Most of the time, I always think, I don't know how these people making it. And then this flood happened. 1937 was the last flood we had here. I was still at Galena then. That's where I was born and raised. I guess most of you know Edgar Nallner. He was the last of the surviving Sierra Moran guy that lived and died in Galena. My father, Edgar Nallner. Well, I'm not picking about the energy or the power bill, but then I keep thinking since October, I start paying the bill and it's over 300, just the power bill alone. And then I think, how come this bill is so damn high? Then I really start looking at it closely. And then I find myself that there's a fuel on there too. So I guess I'm buying the fuel and the power thing. I don't know how that works, but then it is high this year. But I keep doing it because I don't think I'm going to take the money with me because I'm not going to take it with me anyway. So that's what I want you guys to know. It's going to be tough for a lot of them because I know them all my life. They were born at the, most of them were born at the old hospital. And I see them. They're all right there. They all grow up. They all have their families. They all have a lot of respect for me. I have a lot of respect. So that's all I need to say is that I hope you get some sort of help. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next I have Christine Earhart.
There's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about that the legislature does programs for, and one is the Energy Assistance Program, and the other one is the PCE program, and I cannot stress how crucial those programs are to the survival of people in this village. So when you guys are looking at funding those or not funding them, I want to tell you that without those two programs in this village, there would be people that would be freezing during the winter. The other thing is they're talking about the hunting, fishing that needs to be done. The reason that we talk about that is because of the cost of getting supplies here to Tanana. I have seven people that live in my house, me and my children, my mother and my husband. And it cost me, like if I place the order from Sam's Club, about $750 for 1 month of supplies. This is like flour, sugar, you know, canned milk, things that you need to survive, tissue. I have to pay 45% on top of that $700 to get those supplies here to this village. The cost of freight is outrageous. I don't know what you guys could do about that, but I hope you can do something. And then the other thing is this, the school, when kids go and they want to try a different school, like in Fairbanks or Anchorage area, then they didn't like it. They only went for one semester. They come home. They do that original count at the beginning of the year, and then they don't do it again. So the money that should follow the student home does not follow them home. It stays with that city who has plenty of money. I mean, they have swimming pools. They have activities to offer, volleyball, hockey, you name it, they have it. We have basketball and whatever else we can put together here in the village. I just want to stress, we don't have a hot lunch program out here for our kids. I mean, just basic things we want. And I don't like the fact that half of our community have water and sewer and half don't. When we originally applied for this water and sewer through VSW 10 years ago, we were looking at the entire community being served. Now they turn around and they tell us, oh, there's no more funding. That's it. We can only hook up half your town. Well, how would you feel if half your town got hooked up to water and sewer and the other half didn't? That's all I want to say.
Thank you. Okay, next I have Kathy Roberts.
I want to, I'm from the Circle. I live in the Circle for 27 years since it was built. And we moved downtown here since the flood. It's good to have, take a shower, use the inside bathroom, and I never realized how good it was. I mean, take a shower at night after working at the house all day, come home and go to Christine's house or my mother-in-law's and take a shower and you go to bed just like a baby. You sleep hard all night.
Yeah.
But that's it, you know. And we had the flood, you know, all outhouses and the water came down river. Now, I don't know if they want that again, but that's what I want to talk about is the water and sewer. Like she said, half the town has it and we don't. And that's all I want. And the freight. It costs so much to get things here, and a lot of people struggle. I know my husband and I will be okay. We will get back in our house, but there's some people that I worry about, the elders, the people who are alone. But that's what I want to say, just the water and sewer.
Thank you very much. Gerald Nicolai.
Hey, my name's Gerald Nicolai, and I'd like to thank you people for coming to meet us just face-to-face. You know, some of us lost not only our homes and everything, but we lost all our material things right now. Like at my field, I can't, you know, restricted to doing just a few things and rebuilding your home is really going to affect the way of life that I grew up with, because I was born and raised here, and mostly in a subsistence way of life. And some of us lost a lot of things, our tools to rebuild things, some motors, everything. But, you know, like what Christine said, some people they have no other choice to rely on, like the energy assistance program, wood bending program, and all those things. So it's very critical to these people to have something to lean back. The cost of things here is twice, maybe three or four times marked up compared to Fairbanks or whatever. But any help these people get is really appreciated, all the volunteers and everything. There's a lot of people that have lost more than that around here, but the loss is tremendous. You can't just like walk through the streets, and you know, sometimes people get perturbed from to see like what FEMA did, just walk right through the street and never actually went and looked at the house because some houses are more affected than the others. Like some people got mad because they didn't go like from house to house up the circle. That's like one of the places, other places got affected. It was small, but the cost to rebuild again, I don't know. I don't know how much of that be. But it's going to be a tremendous cost to rebuild this place.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Okay, next I have Bray Woods.
I don't know if I need a microphone. I'd like to thank the community of Canada and the people that directed us, got us to, hey, we got to get this done. We don't need nobody. We got ourselves. We can do what we have to do. But the only thing, I lost hope. Me and my wife, we built for years. You know, hey, all I want to do is please put some insulation underneath that so I can move back in so I don't have to worry much this winter. Thank God to my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law, we got a little place. At least we can go lay down. You know? And get our electricity fixed so we don't have to worry, but after we move in, we turn on the light switch and then my house burned down. You know, I'm a carpenter. I live all my life doing shit, you know, rebuilding places, tearing it back. I know what to do. We got people here in Canada that know exactly how to do it. Just give us something so we can at least go home. We can go home. Thank you for listening to me, because I can ramble on forever, but, you know, that's all I want. That's all I want is move back to my house. You know? I paid power yesterday, but for.
Thank you, Ray. And next I have John Bania. Did I get that right? Pretty close.
My name is John Bania. I'm the superintendent and principal here of the Tanana City School District. And I have to say that this has been quite an interesting year for me. It's my first year here. I've spent most of the last 25 years working in rural Alaska. And I can tell you that Tanana is a unique community in many ways. First of all, as far as the school goes, academically, this is the best school that I've ever worked in rural Alaska. The students here, the school generally makes AYP. The high school students have a high percentage of passing all of the exams that are required to graduate. Very few of them have to retake an exam. And in the lower grades, the students are academically sound also. That aside, I myself have been through two trips to the legislature. I don't recall actually speaking with any of you as individuals, but we have some financial problems of our own here that have to be surmounted, and unfortunately, Tanana has received all kinds of publicity this year in a negative sort of way. You know, we've needed money for the school to help make up for past mistakes and get back in our budget and keep it that way. Now the flood has come along and people are in trouble and need assistance. And you can tell from listening to the speakers before me that this is an independent lot here, I guess just as I am, or I wouldn't have spent almost a quarter of a century working in rural Alaska, because I don't think you can survive out here unless you're fairly independent. So we seem to need some assistance in all ways. None of us, and I can't speak for everybody in town, but me personally, I don't like to ask for help. I like to make my own way. But in this case, assistance is necessary, and just to help people out and to help the school out so we can all do what we'd like to do and carry on. Energy costs here, to give you some figures, last year in June, it cost $105,000 for the fuel alone for the school. With the fluctuation in price, this year it's going to be a little less than half of that. Who knows what it will be next year. During the winter here, our power bills were $14,000 and $15,000 per month. In the warmer months, they're maybe between $5,000 and $7,000 a month, or a little less, but you can see what we're getting at here. Our total budget is only a little bit over $1 million, yet the percentage that goes towards energy alone is staggering, and it causes us grief in that we can't do much else. So between energy, maintenance, and personnel costs, we eat up well over half of our budget. The community here is great in that they've been very helpful. The tribal council helps us out. Student activities wouldn't even take place on a large scale at all if it wasn't for them. So there's a great spirit of cooperation here. There's an independent spirit, but nevertheless, as I said a couple of minutes ago, there comes a time when no matter how independent you are, you may need some assistance from people who have the ability to give it. So it would be great if somehow you could do that for the school and the community, not only through energy, but in other ways too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you very much, and we'll take all of the thoughts that you've had today back with us and follow up on the help that's coming out here and before the winter, and on the school and some of these other ideas for energy for your community. I do think that's a really important part of the cost savings. If we can find sustainable, low-cost energy sources, it'll go a long way. Thank you very much. Is there anything my colleagues would like to add? Okay, thank you.